Thursday night, and it may be a little steamy outside, but you've tuned into a cool place. This is So What's Your Story on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, professor of communication at the University of Houston downtown. So What's Your Story puts the spotlight on soul-inspiring tellers, both pros and newbies, some of whom could be you, who engage us with revealing personal stories and beloved folk tales by taking us, actually alluring us, on enchanted journeys and then returning us safely to the present. You know, folktale variations were served up last week by Sally Bates Goodrow, and tonight her hubby will continue that folksy journey through his original folk songs. First, a few tidbits to ponder. Folk songs are extensions of folklore, a term coined by the English antiquarian William Thomas to describe the traditions, customs, and superstitions of regular folks. Certainly, most music can be defined as rhythmic stories, but folk songs have the distinction of being conceived and expressed through the oral tradition of storytelling. Songs have been performed by custom over a long period of time, usually several generations. And consequently, there's often no copyright on songs because, like folk tales, we don't know who wrote them. But we know who wrote the ones we're going to hear tonight. David Goodrow was born in a small log cabin hospital. Seriously, David, a long cog?
I thought it sounded good.
Right, log cabin hospital. That's amazing. Near the edge, near the end of the Everglades, near the edge of the Everglades in 1953.
Well, it was Fort Lauderdale. That was in 53.
I just want to know if there's anybody younger than me that will ever be on this show. That's what I'm thinking about right now. Okay. He grew up with lots of music influence surrounding him, and his parents and maternal grandparents sang in the car. He was exposed to lots of musicals of the 20s, 30s, and 40s. But listening to his uncle's folk music collection in 1960 is what fueled David's interest in folk. He received the album The Weavers on his 9th birthday and loved the harmonics, especially Pete Seeger's banjo. His mom bought him a banjo for his 20th birthday, and it's been downhill ever since, right? Yeah.
Tonight, pretty
much. But tonight's pendulum may be swinging toward the humorous, but let me get real serious for a moment. David Goodrow is one talented dude. He really is, and he's kind enough to help kickstart this weekend into something really special. Musicals, huh? It was musicals.
It was musicals.
Well, here's a little test. Okay, chicks and?
Ducks and geese better scurry.
Very good. But, and then continue that.
When I Take You Out in My Surrey.
Okay, and a surrey is?
A surrey is a two-seated buggy.
Okay, I used to think that it's someone saying I'm surrey, but that's not true. It's a buggy.
Well, maybe in certain parts of England.
Yeah, right, or certain parts of Texas, too, I would imagine. Nice time. Nice job, David. Very good. Now, I know that you heard Oklahoma as a child, and what about some other musicals? Anything else?
Oh, gosh. My Fair Lady, I managed
really?
To memorize most of that by the time I was...
You're kidding.
Well, it wasn't a conscious effort. My mom played all these... albums on the hi-fi.
Yeah,
those
hi-fi,
of you who don't know what that is can call in later.
Pete Seeger was a tremendous influence on you.
He was. As you mentioned, I started listening to folk music with my uncle's record collection and asked for and received the album The Weavers on Tour for my 9th birthday. And I just... loved the way they sounded. I loved the songs they sang, and I loved Pete Seeger's banjo playing.
Fabulous. Let's hear your first song.
Well, I have to issue a small correction in that I did not write any of the songs that were being done tonight.
So you lied.
Hey, I worked for lawyers for 20 years. You've got to learn something.
Well, there goes at least three people who used to listen to us. Yeah.
Anyway.
All attorneys. Thank you so much. We apologize. Not really, but, you know, we apologize.
The first song I'm going to do tonight is a ballad that was written back in 1925 about an incident that occurred in the spring of that year, which incidentally was about the time my father was born. And it involved a young man who was an amateur spelunker who got trapped in a cave when a rock shifted and pinned his leg. And it became probably one of the very first media circuses as far as, you know, radio was just getting started, and the broadcast people showed up in Tennessee where this occurred and set up booths and set up a carnival atmosphere, really, while this young man was slowly losing his life trapped underground, and ultimately they could not save him. But this is just called Floyd Collins, and it's a true story. Now come all you young people and listen while I tell the fate of Floyd Collins, a lad we all knew well. His face was fair and handsome, his heart was true and brave. His body now is sleeping in a lonely sandstone cave. His poor old mother begged him from folly to desist. His gray-haired father warned him of the danger and the risk. But Floyd would not listen to the good advice they gave. His body now is sleeping within that sandstone cave. How sad the story, it fills our eyes with tears. The memory, it will linger for many, many years. The broken-hearted father who tried his boy to save is a-weeping tears of sorrow at the door of Floyd's cave. And how the news did travel, oh, how the news did go. It traveled through the paper and over the radio. And how the people waited for any news they gave about the brave explorer trapped in that awful cave. The rescue parties labored, they worked both night and day to move the mighty barrier that stood within the way. To rescue Floyd Collins, this was their battle cry. We'll never know, we'll never let Floyd Collins die. But on that fateful morning, the sun rose in the sky. The party, it still labored, we'll save him by and by. Oh, how sad the ending, his life they could not save. His body rests eternal deep in that silent cave. So young folk, oh, take warning at Floyd Collins' fate, and get right with your maker before it is too late. It may not be a sand cave in which we find our tomb, but at the bar of judgment, we too must meet our doom.
Very good. All right. Very good.
Always,
nice
always have to have the moral in there.
Absolutely. How do you decide what to say? Where do you get your ideas? I mean, you just look through the paper. What do you do?
In many respects, it's just listening to music, and you hear something, and a song will. Shout out to you. You need to learn this because you really like that.
Right.
You ought to learn it.
Right.
And that's how I've acquired most of the songs that I sing.
What's generally characteristic about an event that says to you, "I've got to sing about this"?
Oh, I don't know. I'd say it's. I guess if I sing it a second time for people, it's because they liked it.
Ah,
I don't know. I can't tell you what exactly appeals to me. Human interest, true things, the human condition, things that have morals and consequences.
Yeah, it really doesn't make any difference. Certain topics just speak to us, and we don't have to have a reason. But we're going to keep this hoedown going on So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 Houston with guest teller David Goodrow. I'm your host, Hank Rubichek. What's your next song?
Well, the next song is one that I learned off of a Pete Seeger album, which was recorded, I believe, in 1961, if I remember correctly.
So this one is stolen from Pete Seeger.
Yes, okay. I don't know who actually wrote it. I don't think Pete did, but somebody did, and he put it on this album that was actually recorded live in some Greenwich Village place in 61, and I found this record again. It's one of these big flat plastic things with grooves in it.
Yeah. Oh, they're coming back. They're coming back.
Good. I found it about 30 years ago at a shop over here on Westheimer if I'm remembering correctly, and, you know, took it home, played it, and it's full of great songs, but this is one I particularly liked, and it's actually, it's for the ladies, if you will, because it's about romance and justice and stuff.
We need a tune for the ladies. Good idea.
She was born in an old Monessen alley. Her ma and her pa, they called her Sal. She grew up to be the pride of the valley. A typical Monongahela gal. She wandered one day by the river, and she watched the Jason steaming by. Her heart gave a leap and a quiver when she caught the handsome pilot's roving eye. Now his name, you must know, was Moat Stanley, and he wore a fancy sporting coat. He was tall, dark, and handsome and manly, the slickest pilot ever steered a boat. Roll on, roll on, Monongahela, roll on to the Ohio, roll on past Aliquippi down to the Mississippi, clear to the Gulf of Mexico. Now Moat, he gave a toot on his whistle, and the Jason churned the waters at her stern, and Sal, stepping light as a thistle, reached up and took Moat Stanley's hand in hern. It was love, careless love, by the river. It was love, careless love by the shore, and I'm sure that the good Lord will forgive her, 'cause she never knew what love was like before. Now he swore that he always would love her, as they locked through the old Emsworth Dam, but that night overboard he did shove her, and then Moat Stanley took it on the lam. Now no one could say Sal was sickly. She didn't even take time out to bawl. She just hightailed it right down for Civicly, slapping out a fast Australian crawl. She hopped a fast freight for Rochester, and there was Moat a steaming close to shore from a yard bull who tried to molest her. She up and swiped a great big 44. She raised up that big shooting iron, and she fired six shots into Moat. And when she laid down that revolver, she'd sure messed up that fancy sporting coat. Roll on, roll on, Monongahela, where the catfish and the carp left long ago. You used to be so pure, but now you're just a sewer, messing up the Gulf of Mexico.
Very good. All right. I have to tell you, I see a musical Valentine's card in that one. I mean, I really do. I just see somebody opening up that card and hearing the whole thing. And by the way, what is a hoedown? I know I use that term.
I think that's a police term for a prostitute that's fallen and can't get up.
You know, that's a sick thing, but I love it.
Yes, you know. One out of 12, we have a hoedown on Lower West Timer. Investigate.
I like that. You know, I've never really been invited to one. I don't know. I don't know if I'm quite the hoedown person.
I think it's an archaic term these days. Yeah. I think now they call them picking parties or something like that.
I mean, if you're invited to one, what do you wear? Business casual? Is it, you know, plaid shirts? Or what is it that you would wear?
Well, myself, probably more or less what I'm wearing now, and maybe jeans, although, you know, Daisy Dukes are okay, too.
Wouldn't you have to take some allergy shots first or something?
Wouldn't hurt.
You know, I'm amazed also at how many terrific artists are categorized as folk singers. Joan Baez, Jackson Browne, Mamas and Papas, Harry Chapin, John Denver, Bob Dylan, Dan Fogelberg, Jim Croce, Buffalo Springfield, Dusty Springfield, Chad and Jeremy, The Seekers. What about some of your favorite groups? Right, you went to Sam Houston. They must have had stereos there.
Well, they had 8 tracks in the Cars.
I know. What were some of your favorite groups?
Well, my favorite groups have, I guess, been the ones that I started with from the early folk revival era, the Weavers, the Kingston Trio, the Chad Mitchell Trio.
The Kingston Trio?
Yes.
What did they sing? I it was something popular.
Well, they sang a lot of things, starting in 1958 with their number one mega hit, Tom Dooley, which was it was an old folk ballad from the Appalachian Mountains.
How did that go? Tom Dooley.
Well, their version was considerably different from the original, and the tune of which eludes me at the moment. But they got a lot of people interested in folk music for a number of years until the Beatles landed, and that kind of wiped out.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that. But you know what? We don't care about any of those artists. We want to hear you sing another song.
You want to hear me
Absolutely.
Sing another song?
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, rolling right along.
Okay, we're bringing out the banjo.
We're going to switch instruments here, and we're going to try and not, you know, get all the dogs howling. This is a song about a house and its history and its life, and I've loved singing this song for years. I'm reminded of it every time I drive through Houston and see another old house gone and something. No offense to architects, but something hideous put up in its place. And this area of town is certainly seeing a lot of that in Montrose. But this is the story of a house. When great-grandfather was a gay young blade, and great-grandmother was his bride, they found a lot, a perfect little spot, over on the old north side. It sloped down to the river, from River Avenue. Great-grandma said that it would give her such a lovely view. So they took a look in Godey's lady's book to see what they could find. And they found a house, a jolly little house, with a queen and front and a Mary Ann behind. Now great-grandfather was a handy man who never wasted any time. He found a crew that knew just what to do with white pine, common brick, and lime. He said, we'll build a big veranda where Amanda can perch. And I'll sit there myself on Sunday mornings when everybody else has gone to church. His neighbors said he's crazy in the head, he's surely lost his mind. But he built that house, that jolly little house, with the queen and front and the Mary Ann behind. Well, great-grandpa at last was laid to rest, and great-grandmother at his side. Old Aunt Amanda said, my landa, a vacant house I can't abide. I'll start a ladies' seminary, it will be very select. Of course it will be very necessary that all my girls be circumspect. As you might guess, it was a big success. The girls were so refined,
In that self-same house, that jolly little house with the queen in front and the Mary Ann behind. Now Aunt Amanda's work at last was done, and she had gone to her reward. Appeared a sign that bore the line announcing simply room and board. The old house soon was filled with rumors of every degree. Red flannel underwear and bloomers hung out for everyone to see.
Mm-hmm.
The old porch stoop had started into droop, and the house looked so resigned. That self-same house, that jolly little house with the queen and front and the Mary Ann behind. Well, the poor old house got to looking worse and worse, and so did River Avenue. And wooden shacks across the tracks spoiled great-grandma's lovely view. When several very pretty ladies moved in there one day, they were such charming Susan's Sadies, but a wagon came and took them all away. And one old dame said, "Isn't that a shame? My girls were so refined." But they closed that house, that jolly little house, with the queen in front and the Mary Ann behind.
All right. Excellent. Now, what made you come up with that one? How'd you come up with that one?
That's another song off of a different Pete Seeger album that I don't know, picked up 35, 40 years
ago.
Yeah,
it's great
stuff. You were asking earlier about what makes me want a song.
Yeah.
One thing is clever lyrics. Like that one, for instance, has the line in it, the house was soon filled with rumors.
Right.
Meaning a boarding house, you think people of every degree. And
Yeah.
You know, that says to me, rumors, R-U-M-O-R-S, of every degree, when you've got all these different people living together.
Yeah.
And just clever, clever lyrics.
Clever stuff, it really is. Yeah, lyrics is everything. It is. You know, speaking of lyrics and great songs, Folk Alley is a 24-hour online stream of Kent State University at WKSU, which has identified the 100 most influential folk songs of all time. And I checked some other sites, and there's pretty much a standard operating procedure. I mean, there is really some objectivity in terms of what makes these great songs. For example, here's a list of a few of them. This Land Is Your Land, Blowin' in the Wind, Tom Dooley, Sound of Silence, Puff the Magic Dragon, It Ain't Me, Babe, If I Had a Hammer, Where Have All the Flowers Gone. You may think you're listening to So What's Your Story, but in fact you've tuned into Please Don't Let the Host Sing on KPFT 90.1 Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, 89.7 in Huntsville, and 90.3 in Livingston. Before we get back to David, who can really sing, I want to get to
That's not true.
Oh, yes, it is. Are you kidding? absolutely is. Let's talk tips for the tellers when we learn something about storytelling by answering a question sent in by a listener. We get a lot of questions about this. Marco from the Heights writes, Dr. Hank, thank you for your show. It's my fave. I don't believe it, but thank you anyway for saying that, Marco. I want to write and tell stories about myself. How do I get started? Well, Marco, you want to think of your life as a timeline, I think, and what were the significant events that surface? You want to study the photos, heirlooms, family history, ask lots of questions, and you want to make sure that you get answers. I think when you do that, then you've created a story log, a story journal. And it's interesting because in many ways, that's what David is doing tonight. He's talking about lyrics that made sense. Well, you want to ask yourself what kind of events in your life make sense. What really comes to mind? What were those events that were frozen in time, specks in time, and through a story you'd like to let thaw? Do you have anything to add?
Only that in the 20-some-odd years that I've been involved with the storytelling community, primarily through my wife, Sally, I've listened to lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of stories, and my favorite category, personally, is other people's personal stories.
Yeah.
I mean, I love folk tales. I love all the things that you hear at storytelling festivals, but my very favorite are people's own tales of things that have happened in their life.
Yeah, they are terrific. And, they really are. They are terrific.
And if I may, another hint for developing your stories is come to a meeting of the Houston Storytellers Guild, because you'll find a ready audience, whether you want to tell or listen or learn or just be with a bunch of good folks.
Oh, absolutely. You know, some of my guests are members of the Guild, of which I'm the proud president. We hold a monthly story swap on the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at St. Andrew's House. That's at 1811 Heights Boulevard. And any and every story lover, from starters to stars, belong in HSG. It's a group that rocks. And check out our site at www.houstonstorytellers.org for all the fun happenings. In the meantime, Marco, thank you so much for your question. If any of you have a question that you'd like me to answer on the air, or if you want to be a guest on So What's Your Story, send me your question or story idea to Ruby, R-O-U-B-E-Y, .story@gmail.com. Again, that is Ruby, R-O-U-B-E-Y, .story@gmail.com, and I will respond. And get your calls in, too, because we're going to start taking calls in, probably in the next couple of weeks. In the meantime, David, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, absolutely.
It was terrific. It really, really was terrific.
A lot of fun.
I want everybody out there to know you have to make KPFT a part of every day, and story lovers, make it a habit. I'm thinking really an addiction to tune in every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story and ease into the weekend ride. Stay tuned for Scooter. In the meantime, be good to each other. I'm Dr. Hank Grubacek, always reminding you that it's never too late to live happily ever after.
Amen.